Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We adore you. My daughter so proudly reminded me on the 1st of December, Papa, it's officially Christmas. We have had the decorations up and Christmas trees up since October, but we're now coming into the last 4 weeks of Christmas. We've actually got 21 days today, 21 days, in 21 days' time is Christmas Eve of 2023. It's pretty crazy. I just want us to focus and to come alongside this theme of come and let us behold Him. To behold Him goes beyond merely seeing or observing. To behold Him involves a deep and intentional act of perceiving, understanding, and connecting with the essence of the person being beheld. There's more to it than just seeing or observing. Our Bible reading, one of the Bible readings this morning, and the main Bible reading for this next 4 weeks will be 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. It's a process. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. And this is what I'm experiencing here at Pneuma East since we've been around, is that we are going from glory to glory. We are going from more of His presence to more of His presence. We're going from the tangible to the healings. And folks, this is just the beginning. Because as I read in Psalms 149, you know what? God loves us so much that He wants to enjoy us. He wants to enjoy yourself and mine. The background of this verse is from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, when Moses, Israel's leader, would meet with the Lord face to face. And when he came down from the mountain, there would be this glow around his face that the Israelites, they were so, so afraid. They were in fear because he glowed so much from being in the presence of the Lord. I long for that day. I really do. I wish and I pray that we would be so, as believers, not just for myself, but as believers, that we would spend so much time in His presence that we would, when we walk out of our throne room, when we walk out of our prayer closet, that we are glowing, that there's something different about us. You see, what Paul alludes to here in this scripture in 2 Corinthians is the fact that we all live behind the veil of unbelief. But when the veil of unbelief is removed by the Spirit, we are then able to gaze upon and behold the glory of Jesus. The result being, as we behold, so we are transformed. Transformed is actually the word metamorphoa. This is the same word used for Jesus being transfigured on the mountain, which we read of in Matthew 17:2. It's the same word for the transformation through the renewing of our minds that we read about in Romans 12:2. Same word. We become more like Him. To behold Him. To behold Him face to face. Behold meaning to see or observe a person, especially a remarkable or impressive one. So as we behold, as we see, as we linger in His presence, as we observe how He does things, guess what? We are transformed. You today, that beholding Jesus is a necessity in our Christian walk. Beholding Jesus is a necessity in our day-to-day walk as believers, because it is the action that comes before the transformation. We want to be transformed, but we first have to behold Him. We first have to behold Him. Can I also propose that if we want to look more like Jesus, if we want to act more like Jesus, if we want to think more like Jesus, we must start by beholding Him, because beholding is, as I have said, is not optional. It must be an active practice in our lives if we want to experience the transformative power. Beholding Him. That word beholding has not been part of the language within the church, but it's time to bring it back. It's time to understand what it means to behold. You see, the veil was removed for a purpose. It wasn't just removed so that we could have a good time. It was removed so that we could behold Him and then experience the transformation. It's never been, I was once blind and now I'm perfect. It was more like, I was blind, but the veil has now been removed. Now I can behold Him and be transformed. We need the veil to be removed first before we can behold Him, which then leads us to be, as we behold Him, to being transformed. So today, as we kick off our Christmas season, I want us to behold Him through different aspects of His character. And the first aspect that I want to look at is beholding Christmas love. That's the title of the message, beholding Christmas love. What does it mean when you say, I love you? What does it mean when you say, I love you dearly? How can you describe love? Can you describe love? Well, the dictionary says that love is a strong feeling of affection. The synonym is the deep affection or fondness or tenderness or warmth or intimacy, attachment, endearment. Our minds, I think, truly are a little warped when it comes to love because of society, because of the soapies, because of the movies. These things make love so cheap. But I want to encourage you today that you take whatever definition you have of love and you multiply that by a million or a trillion or a gazillion or even by infinity, and you don't get to the glimpse or a little speck of what love means supernaturally when it comes to God. You see, a well-known theologian and a writer was asked, of all the theological insights you have had, Professor, which do you consider to be the greatest? Now, you would think he's a theologian, yeah? He would come up with some theological answer, you know, that comes straight out of the Word of God, and he would quote Scripture, and he would bring out the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. But he did something and said something that was so simple. He says this. He says, the greatest theological insight I've ever had is this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Whoa. We sing those songs when we were in kids' church. Gives my age away. Do we still sing that there, Pastor Kath? Sometimes. Okay, good. Maybe we need to bring it back. It's a classic. You see, but God's love is not so simply intellectual. It's beyond our ability to comprehend, and it takes faith to believe it. Now, when a baby is born, we refer to the baby as a bundle of joy or a bundle of love. I don't know if that's true. Not in my experience. I think there are actually a bundle of surprises. I think that's a new title that we need to give to babies. Who knows that when you feed them different colored food, the poo is different colors in the nappy? Yeah? That was a surprise to me. I mean, seriously. Who knows as well that you get the volatile puke projectiles? That come out, what goes in comes straight out at a speed of light. And you, when you look again, you're all covered. The floor's all covered. Any parents here experienced that before? Some of you, yes, I have sympathy. It happened to me not once. Who knows that when you put a baby down in a cot, the next minute the baby's got a fever and you're rushing them off to hospital, you're like, how did that happen? Got no idea. I think our biggest fear, surprise, was when Jay had whooping cough. Or not whooping cough. Help, that's why you're here. Croup. My gosh, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with this sound of an animal in my boy's cot, and we're in panic mode, and we rush him out, and we wrap him up, and we're off to the hospital. And as soon as we got outside, he was normal. When we got to the hospital, there was nothing wrong with him. And they were like, they laughed at us. You're a first-time parent, aren't you? And yep, that's us. We are first-time parents. Tantrums. You think that God gives you this little angel, and the next minute this baby is chucking a tantrum there, and you're going, do I need to send this child for deliverance or something? What is happening? You know, this baby's only 3 weeks old and chucking a tantrum. I mean, it's surprises, yeah? But jokes aside, the birth of a baby is something very special. It is a bundle of joy and a bundle of love. 2,000 years ago, in the form of a man-child, this world was given a bundle of love. It was God's gift of love, a gift that still makes an everlasting difference. The ultimate reason for this gift was love, a love that cannot be fathomed out, a love that cannot be penned down, a love that cannot be understood, a love which goes deeper than the deep affection or the fondness or the tenderness or the warmth or the intimacy or the endearment that we find in the dictionaries. God's love is actually part of his eternal and unchanging nature. So let's look at the words. The scripture is going to be on the board there, but if you're taking notes, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. God's love and ours is the title. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. That's a sermon in itself. Man did not invent love. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He gave his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. And then it says this, not that we loved God. It's not because of our watered-down definition of love. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, I love this. No one has ever seen God, but if, everybody say if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God is love. This is what the scripture is telling us. Love is from God. Then his Son, which the scripture refers to, is love. He loved us and sent his Son. His love is made complete in us if we love one another. The point is, love is part of who God is. Love is part of his character. Love is part of his nature, and that never changes. You know, we think that God changes his mind constantly, that God changes constantly. He does not change. How do I know this? Because the prophet Malachi said this in Malachi 3:6, and the Lord spoke through the prophet, and he said, I, the Lord, do not change. I think my biggest bugbear is when people come to me and say, oh, the Lord said I need to do this. And 2 weeks later, they come back and say, oh, no, the Lord said to me I need to do this. I'm like, how come the Lord changed his mind? Because he doesn't change. But here we have it, that love is part of who God is. Love has always been around is another point I want to make here. In John 17:24, it says, Jesus is saying this, you loved me before the foundation of the world. This is the Son of God saying to the Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, love existed. The gift of love from before the very first Christmas clearly shows us that God's love is part of his eternal, unchanging character. That means it's eternal. That means it's never ending. That means it's endless. That means it's undying. It's immortal. It's indestructible. That means it's enduring. That means it is timeless. It is timeless, folks. the Christmas love that we have. Christmas, the character, beholding His love in this time. I know we speak a lot about love at Easter time, but you know what? We should be speaking about His love at Christmas time, because He sent the gift of all gifts, the gift of love, in the form of a man-child. Another scripture revealing God's character of love is John 3:16, and we all know this scripture. God so loved the world that He gave. He so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because of His love, because of the love that was within God, because of the character, the love which is part of His character, He gave His one and only begotten Son, who to be born of a virgin, the first Christmas gift, a bundle of joy, the first Christmas gift, a bundle of hope, the first Christmas gift, a bundle of love, to come into this world, this dark, wicked world, bring life and bring hope. God's Christmas love makes an everlasting difference. How? Because think about it as well. God's bundle of Christmas love, if it weren't there, we wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have a Savior. Without God's Savior, we would be hopeless. Without God's Savior, we would be lost. We would be loveless. We would be forever spiritually dead. We would be separated from God. But this Christmas love, God's gift of Christmas love, through this love, through this bundle of love that He gives us, that was wrapped and put into, laid in a manger, we have a Savior sent because of perfect love. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. No matter your past, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you were born into, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you did 5 seconds ago, He loves you unconditionally. And it's through this love that we come and we celebrate a season such as this. You see, the gift, God's gift of Christmas love, there is true hope. True hope, not false hope. There is true peace. The shalom of heaven is yours because of this gift of Christmas. Love releases His peace. Where He is, there is peace. He is love. He is peace. Shalom of heaven just comes and permeates your situation and your circumstance. Because of God's gift of Christmas love, that we have joy. We have so much joy. This is a season where there's so much joy that's filled in the air. May we focus on the joy that He first loved us and sent His love for us. Because of God's gift of Christmas love, there is true purpose for us to fulfill. Nothing. There is no purpose beyond God's purpose for your life. I don't know why. You hear this a lot from the year 12s. You hear this a lot from teenagers or young adults. I don't know what God's purpose is for my life. Are you following God? No. Well, actually, are you praying? Are you spending time with Him? Because you know what? I truly believe. This is my opinion. Psalm 139 says to me that He knitted you in your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says to me that He wrote all the days of your life into His book before there was one. So Psalm 139 says that to me about what God did about you. Therefore, I know He has a perfect plan for your life. It's your work and my work. It's your job, my job. It's for us to uncover and discover. And that's a word for somebody here. 2023 has been a year where you've gone, oh, I don't really know what the purpose is for my life. I say to you, you know what? Behold Him and you'll figure out what is the purpose, because He will reveal the purpose to you. Behold Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Behold Him. And all the rest will fall into place. Our life, you've heard me say this as well, but you know what? There was a couple of months there that we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know where we were going. But I wasn't running around trying to figure it out, asking people's opinion. And this is not, hey, whoa, look at me, I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. Believe me, I'm not perfect. Just ask Paulina, I'm not perfect. Ask Elizabeth, she'll say I'm perfect, but not Paulina. No, just kidding. But in that time of the unknown, when I was awakened at 3:33, day in, day out, I would get up, I would go downstairs and make a coffee and sit in what I call my prayer closet, which I call the throne room. And I would sit in the throne room and I would behold him. I put on my music and I'd sit with the word. Sometimes I would be crying, sometimes I'd be on the floor, sometimes I would just be soaking, sometimes I'd be talking, but I beheld him. Folks, there's power in this. Being there, done that. I speak from experience. Before that, I tried all the solutions myself. Didn't work. Once you behold him, he reveals your plans and your purposes. Because of the gift of Christmas love, there is life and freedom from the bondages of death that hold us back. It's time to break that addiction. It's time to let it go. He has more for you. He has plans and purposes for you that you have no idea of. They are good. They are good. Why do I say that? Because John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give life, and that in abundance. That's the life he has for you, a life of abundance. Because of God's gift of Christmas love, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Come on. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. He is the father that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He is the one that knitted you together. He is the one that knows what tomorrow holds. He is the one that knows what next year holds. He knew what you were going to go through this year. And he knows what you're going to be going through next year. My encouragement for you is just behold him and seek him and walk diligently alongside him. So I come and I say this. Let us behold him this season. Let's behold his love. Let's behold his. Let's observe in this season the fact that he is the lover of our soul. He is the lover of your soul. He is the one who wants you to love him and to just come to him, to run to him in those times of despair, to run to him in those times when you have questions on your mind. Come to him in those times when you feel, you know what? I'm just not feeling quite great at the moment. He is your father. He is Abba. Papa God, he is your father. And he is the one that is waiting for you. Let's observe God's gift of Christmas love. If I can have the team up, that'll be great. Thanks. Let's undergo metamorphoa. What is that, JoJo? Transformation. Let's undergo transformation. Let's become more and more like him in the way he loves, let us love. Because remember this, we become what we behold. We become what we behold. Another way to put it, what you focus on grows. I want to love more. I want to love more. Yes, I love well. And that's what I want written on my tombstone one day, is he loved well. But I can love even better than what I'm loving at the moment. And I think each and every single one of us can. And the way to realize how we can love more is by beholding him. Because I really want to start loving him, loving people the way Jesus loves me. I want to start loving myself the way Jesus loves me. I need to learn to love myself. I look across this room and I go, there's a lot of us that we struggle to love ourselves. Why? He loves you. No matter what, if people love you, no matter if somebody's got the wrong impression of you, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what people say, because we are not moved by the fear of man. We can only be moved by the fear of God. How much do we fear Him? How much do you fear Him? Let's behold Him. Let's behold Him. Let's undergo metamorphoa. What we become what we behold. May New Me East be known for their love. We are family. That's what's so beautiful about New Me East. From the first day that we walked into these doors, we walked away going, wow, it feels like family. It is family. We have something unique here that other churches don't have. I'm talking amongst Numa, not only Numa East, but Numa. There's something family, something about family that other churches don't have. And I've preached in many and I've been part of many. I Googled. Good old Google. I should do AI, hey? That's a new thing. That's the latest thing. Anyway, Google, old-fashioned. What will change this world? Can I read a couple of things? Money, leadership, human power, feed the babies in poverty, control, join a political party, learn useful skills, adding kindness to everyone's normal activities, conserve water, be generous. Now there's good things in there. But I went through pages and pages and pages to prove one fact. No one said love. It's in all the websites I went on to. You see, when we love like God loves, our communities will be different. When we love like God loves, when we behold Him and become more like Him and love like Him, our schools will be different. When we love like Him, guess what? I believe our politicians will be different. Our nation will be different. And this world will be a better place. How do we love well? Good question. But I have a great answer. We behold the one who is love. Behold the one who is love. He is God.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.